Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you have joined us today. And we love our brother Ken that comes on right before us, Gospel Highlights.
Preview to ours.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Yes. And he just got great music on there. So we're so glad to follow him. I am in the studio today with my good friends, Catherine.
Hello out there.
And Pastor Michelle.
Yes, Pastor Go Red Sox, Michelle.
Pastor Go Red Sox, Michelle?
That's right.
How do you think God feels about that, Michelle?
He feels being six behind should not be.
Is that what he feels?
Yes.
Well, I think God needs to get on the side of the Rays right now because it's been a rough four or five games,
yes.
Let me tell you right now.
I have to agree
17
with that.
To 11 yesterday was... pretty sad.
That's
Bill.
High scoring.
Very, very sad. Every time somebody got up to the plate, it seemed like they hit a home run.
Yeah, and Shields was brought up and he brought right back down.
Oh, it was just plain horrible. Anyway, we're so glad you've joined us on Beacon of Hope's Living the Good Life. We've completed 3 years being on the air, guys, which is just amazing. We hit that.
Where's that bell?
That's right there. Wait, there. Oh.
Right on.
All right. We got the applause. Boy, look at all the people in the
listening audience today. I know. It's a huge audience today.
It is packed out there,
really
Catherine.
Out there. Yeah.
Aren't they? There are just so many. They jammed the radio station today.
I know it.
And if you believe that, we'll sell you some swamp land and sinkhole land right here in Florida.
That's right.
Because we're right here in the studio by ourselves with our cute little engineer, Bill. And, you know, God is doing a marvelous thing in our lives. Catherine, are you just stand in amazement as the power of God?
Yes, I do. And from last week to this week, it's like a continuation. We were, opened our new place and we're praising God in our own space.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
As you've talked about, some of the listeners will know that we just have had that journey getting our own location.
Yeah.
And I'm just in amazement of God. We prayed for it and everything could look like it wasn't going to happen. And it did.
And then it just all came together.
Yeah.
We thought it was coming together about a year ago, but it didn't. It just wasn't right. And God knew that he had something better for us. He had his best. You know, this... it doesn't really have anything to do with what we're going to talk about today, but I just want to throw this out. It's free. God has good for us. Mm-hmm. He has better for us, and he has best for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the older I get, and that's up there now, the more I realize that so often in life we settle for good, we settle for better, and rarely do we push through and believe God for the best.
Right.
And I gotta say, on our building, we did that in
Look
this situation.
Look how close we were a year ago.
Ooh, yeah, we really did.
You were ready to.
I was ready to sign papers on some place.
A couple of them. Yeah.
Yes.
That was pretty worn down too.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh yeah, we could throw a little paint here, and
we have to do this,
and
we'd
just looking really, really bad. This is brand new, never lived in. So going from, it's the epitome of going from best to worst, worst to best.
Good to best, yeah.
Good to best, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, because really God had this, and it was sitting there vacant all that time.
Yeah.
And so what a difference a year makes, you know, and everything, how God brought it together in everybody's hearts and the unity. Oh, what a day we had last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, we rocked the house, Canaan Band, and what a great day. So we're starting a new, I guess, a new segment or a new phase of this ministry where we're now back in our own space with all of our own chairs and furniture and musical instruments. And it's an exciting day. I don't know about you guys, but I couldn't wait to get to worship today.
Amen.
And I look around and see the walls we painted and the carpet we just put down and how beautiful everything is. Didn't it just bless your heart?
It adds something to it. It really does. Because we always have great services, but you always kind of felt like at the hotel, like, kind of like we're a guest there.
Which we were.
Right. Yeah, we were. We paid for it, but we were a guest. It wasn't our own place.
Right.
And that little difference in feeling and ownership, it makes a difference. Yeah. I was really looking forward to it today.
Oh, I was too. Just to be back in the house of the Lord. And it was really good. And I didn't get to make it Wednesday night because of my mother falling. And she needs prayer. So you all out there can still pray for her. And Pastor Michelle, you taught Wednesday night. Did you have fun?
I did. You know, that's, I like being in the driver's seat.
You do, yeah.
I do. And
she didn't have to tell us that, did she, Catherine? We kind of know that.
We do.
But more importantly, I love in getting people engaged, especially our group of people. It's a fun group.
It is,
and
isn't it?
And they're such a supportive group. And I really don't, you know, I kid around about being in the driver's seat. It's just really more of a navigator.
Up there
because it's so interactive.
Yes.
And it's a lot of fun doing that. And, you know, bringing up that tough subject of conflict and stuff.
Conflict,
so,
yes.
Yeah, and it was good that people felt free and comfortable enough to share.
Yeah, she got everybody talking.
Did she?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Conflict is a tough subject. We're going to talk about it today on Living the Good Life, and it's going to bless you because we're going to talk about the nitty-gritty of what you can do to get along with people better. Wow. I think that's pretty cool, don't you?
Yeah, yep.
I really do. Wednesday nights, Michelle just said it, is interactive. Starts at 7, and what should they bring, Catherine, if they come and join us this Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope?
Well, just themselves, unless they want to bring their Bible, because we have some Bibles there for you if you don't have one. So just bring yourself and a desire to learn more about the teaching of Jesus. And
amen.
It's a great, you know, very informal group that discusses the living word. And, you know, we all have something to add. We all have different layers of meaning when we read the word. So it's really one of my favorite times at Beacon.
It really is. It's a Wednesday night at 7. It's a cool time. And so we welcome you this week, 3700 Almerton, Suite 206, right behind Five Guys. A lot of good restaurants. So if you don't have time to eat supper, just pick
something up.
Bring it on in, because we have tables. We sit at tables for Bible study. Mm-hmm. So we're going to kick this show off today with Kathy Tricoli's song, Love One Another. It's a great song, and you're going to see why we're using this song.
Stand up. command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You see, if we live as one in his name, we can tear down walls by his grace. For he also said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Wow. Don't you love that? Oh, my heavens. That's a great song.
Uh-huh. I like that song a lot.
Catherine, tell our listening audience how they can contact us right now during this next two-hour show, 4 to 6.
Okay. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And if you want to ask a question or comment on something we're discussing, it would be great. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you have any prayer requests, you can email prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and there's a extended multi-state prayer team that would love to pray for you.
Boy, there is. It's a big prayer team. You know, it's just getting bigger and bigger.
Keeps
all the
spreading,
time.
Yeah.
It spreads all over. So we welcome you to Living the Good Life. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to read it out of the NIV, and we're also going to read it out of the Message. And what do you have?
I have the New Living.
New Living. All right. New Living. That's good, too. That's great. And, boy, I love the Living Bible, so that's great. Let's start with chapter 3, and let's go down to through verse 4. Why don't you start it then, Michelle, with the New Living, just 1 through 4.
1 through 4. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay. Sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing myself. Sorry about that, guys. My child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation.
I like the way that says that. That's really good.
I love it.
Mine is a little different.
All right. Yeah. Let's hear it.
My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man.
Interesting differences. Mm-hmm. Now, I memorized that years ago in the New American Standard. So that's a fourth different translation. And it says in verse 3 in the New American Standard, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Kindness and truth.
Kindness
now,
and truth.
Here we've got love and loyalty in the Message Bible, and you have
love and faithfulness.
Love and faithfulness.
And loyalty and kindness.
Loyalty and kindness. So it's all kind of the same. Today, though, we are going to major on this piece called kindness, okay, and what it means. So I find this very interesting that, you know, most of the Proverbs were written by King Solomon, and this wise man says, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Now, we just heard this song by Kathy Tricoli, Love One Another. That's how people will know you are my disciples, you know?
Right.
It's like a brand. You remember cowboys, how they would brand, you know, cows,
right.
You know? Our brand as children of the Most High needs to be love. You know, it needs to be. So let's talk about verse 3 here, Proverbs 3:3. And in the Message Bible, it says, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty, or don't let kindness and truth leave you. And then it says to do something with this love, loyalty, faithfulness, kindness, truth, all of those things. What are we supposed to do with those? I mean, these are attributes. Okay. Mm-hmm. These are attributes that we should have, and we should do something with these attributes, not just put them aside, go, oh, yeah, that person's kind. You know, we should major, you know, remember in college, guys,
right.
When you majored in something, you minored in something, your major meant you spent more time working on that, right? Okay. And so I propose that Solomon is saying here, we can't lose our grip on kindness, loyalty, love, faithfulness. You know, we have got to make sure that we have a firm hold on those things.
Yeah, you know, and I really did like it when I read, tie them around your neck as a reminder, write them deep within your heart. And as I'm listening to you talk, I think about a wedding band.
Yes.
And it's there as
a reminder.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's in you, you know your vow, but it reminds you and it shows everybody else that you're married and you made a commitment.
Exactly.
And, you know, then I happen to be wearing my cross around my neck.
Right.
And it's, you know, everybody else sees it. And really, everybody else... Other people see my necklace and my ring really more than me because I kind of,
yeah.
I'm so accustomed to it. It's
good
just,
point.
It's just a
That's
part
a
of
point.
Me now.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I just, I know where Jesus is on my heart, my
right.
chest, like around my neck. And I know where my band is.
Right.
And I know that.
Yes.
So I no longer really need to be reminded of it occasionally, obviously, but other people
see
that.
It.
And it's an outward sign, obviously. But that's why I like that piece is because tie it around your neck. Because if it's around your neck, more
wow.
people see it. It's more noticeable to people than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's a really good point. The other day in the hospital, there was a nurse that was working on my mother. And she had two crosses around her neck. And my mother was pointing to that. And the nurse just said, yes, I have two crosses. My mother really couldn't say what she was, but she was like
yeah.
noticing, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the lady said, well, I wear two crosses because one was given to me by one grandchild and another by another. And you know, they're special to me, and I wear these two crosses. But that's really important because what we put, you know, oftentimes, let's, you know, that's something tangible. We can look mm-hmm. at your cross and we can see that that's
right.
there on you for
mm-hmm.
a reason.
Right.
Okay. Now, when Solomon is talking here, he says, tie them around your neck. So what is the significance there, Catherine? What do you think?
Well, I was just going to ask you what you thought about this.
Okay, you can ask
my
me.
Version. You said tie. It
that's,
says
yeah.
here, bind.
Bind.
Okay. Tie and bind to me is indicating something restricting, you
okay.
know, something when you think about tying or binding something around your neck, really you can't make a movement without noticing that it's there. And I think it's a strong word. I don't know what your word was, Michelle. Was it tie?
Yes, it was tie.
Tie or bind mm-hmm. are strong words to me. So that's
Absolutely.
Not saying, you know, just something loose around your neck that you don't know if it's there or not. That's, you know, binding
I like
something.
That. Yeah, I like that idea.
It's something that you yourself, you know, yes, others will see it, but you yourself is aware of something that's bound around your neck.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, like you pointed out, it's something that if it's bound on you, you're always aware of it. You always feel it there. Any way you move, you're going to know it's there.
Exactly. That's
yeah.
a good point. Bind it. Tie it around your neck.
Even and, the next verse,
yeah.
you know, write them on the tablet of your heart.
Oh.
That's kind of strong, yeah.
I'm going to hold this up to the camera. Is the camera working today, Bill? Good. Okay, I'm going to hold this little piece of paper up here. And I like these kind of notepads for sermons and stuff. And it reminds me of when I was in elementary school, the goldenrod tablets. Do you remember the goldenrod tablets? You guys know you're too young.
No.
All right.
I do not know about the goldenrod tablets.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Some I do of know our three-ring binder paper.
All right. Sorry. Well, some in my generation will remember the goldenrod tablets. See this camera? It is just like yellow paper with lines, and it was a tablet. And that we used when I was a kid. That was right after we stopped using quills.
Oh, and stone?
And stone. That was right after that. We had goldenrod tablets.
Oh,
okay.
Funny.
But a tablet is something like we would put our lessons in.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We would write, you know, the little assignments and all that stuff. Now, I love this because Solomon says, write them upon the tablet of your heart. Now, in this Message Bible, it says, carve their initials on your heart, the initials of kindness and truth
mm-hmm.
or love and loyalty
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So there is a tablet on our heart. Have you ever thought about that?
No. Uh-huh.
Think about that for a minute. And what is King Solomon trying to say here? We have a tablet in our heart. For what reason? What's going on there? In other words, I propose to you that a lot of people write bad situations on the tablet of their heart. Pain.
Yeah.
Keeps it there. They keep it there. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Constant reminder. It's like you said, that branding was perfect. You know, if somebody steals that steer,
right,
you can't deny it. You can't erase the branding.
It's there.
It's
right?
there. I mean, you can try to reconfigure it and all that jazz, but the branding is still there.
Exactly.
There's no way to get rid of it.
Okay. So the psalmist is saying, all right, it's not enough to just know about kindness. We've got to do something with kindness and truth and love and loyalty, all these same words, faithfulness. We got to do something with those, not just say, oh, it's, you know, Christians are supposed to love each other. Praise God. It's more than that,
yeah.
Catherine.
Right. It's more than that. And when you think of your heart, I think of, you know, someone's heart. That's a very personal, special.
Yes.
You know, that's your feelings, your emotions. You know, when something's heartfelt, it's, you know, your inner, you know, feelings. And to write on your heart would be, to me, you know, something that you're putting a great importance on.
Exactly.
And that they're suggesting here, it should be, you know, kindness and faithfulness. So
kindness and faithfulness, love, loyalty,
right.
All these things.
Right.
I'm reminded when you were saying that of something that Jesus said in the New Testament, and he said, out of the mouth, the heart speaks.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Out of the mouth, the heart speaks.
Mm.
So think about that. Now, we're supposed to be putting these things on the tablet of our heart,
mm-hmm.
okay? And this, you know, this tablet of our heart, obviously we can write on this,
mm-hmm.
okay? And
and what we write on it is what we're going to be speaking.
Exactly.
You want to write good, kindness, loving words on it in order to be able to speak it.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that one.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It is, because I was just reading a little commentary on mine here and saying, you know, thoughts and words are not enough. You know, we can think all these wonderful things and idealistic things or whatever and say the right words. Like you said, we could speak them. But unless we write them down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're meaningless the next minute because it's already there.
It's gone.
You know, it's gone. As soon as the words come out of your mouth or the thought goes through your mind, it's gone. But if you write it down, it's there forever.
You know, I totally agree with that. And if none of my children are listening to this show today, but if they were, they would say, yes, mother, that's what you always said to us. I always said, take good notes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three words. And I mean, they tease me now. Sometimes they'll call and say, you know, I was doing this, or then I was taking good notes, you know, because I emphasized that the whole time they were growing up, as they were in high school and college, take good notes. Why? You just made that point. You want to elaborate on that?
If you take good notes, you can always go back to them. You can always be reminded or relive, you know, something you wrote down. Whereas, you know, if it's not written down, like Michelle said, it's sort of fleeting. It's not permanent. There's no permanence to it.
Why do we have the written word of God?
Because we can study it.
We can go back to it and look it over and see what Jesus said. And I mean, praise God, we live in the day and age that we have all this right in front of us. In every possible translation,
mm-hmm.
we have it, right? For the like the Message Bible here is 4th and 5th grade reading level. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's why it appeals to me so much. but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's for the simplest to the most complicated, like Pastor Jim.
Right.
You know, it has that broad, me here, Pastor, no. It's got this broad spectrum of appeal to people. And it's right here where we can go and see what God says on any topic. You name it, it's there,
right.
You know. So, you were just saying, though, about the tablet of your heart. So, where is the tablet of your heart?
It's in your life.
Okay.
It's your life.
Okay.
It's your actions.
All right.
Is the tablet of your heart, because your actions will speak, like you just said, you know, out of your mouth comes words from your heart. And that's, and in fact, you know, I just went, was ordained through, as the, one of the associate pastors last Sunday. And,
easy for you to say.
Yeah. And Pastor Marsha had mentioned that, this was something offered, sometime last year. And I said, you know, I'm just going to hang on to this one. You know, let me think it through, because, you know, I take it very seriously in that I wanted to be sure that my actions reflect what is truly in my heart, and
praise
that it was
God.
Straight, and, you know, that was between God and I, and I know I'm in right standing with God, but, you know, it's a very powerful position. People look at you and they take everything you say very seriously. And they have a great deal of respect for you and that sort of thing. So I want to be sure that that's, and obviously I'm speaking from my heart here, is that people do see what's in my heart through my actions. And that's the only way.
Right.
That is the only way.
So we get
actions.
To view the tablet of your heart?
Exactly.
Ah, that's interesting.
I like that.
We get to look at the tablet of each other's hearts. Do you want to amplify on that, Miss Research Scientist?
Yeah, well, I was thinking of another spectrum on that.
Okay, go ahead.
I know a person that, you know, the cable guy that came blew up one of her TVs, and the doctor appointment she went to, he, you know, made her wait too long and didn't give her the right diagnosis. The grocery store guy didn't give her the right change. This person didn't give her the right that. And
this is somebody you know?
This is somebody I know. Nothing, okay? Everybody's out to do her wrong. You know, everybody's trying to put the screws to her.
Right.
Just FYI, she's not talking
about
me.
I'm not talking about Michelle Cardinal.
All right.
And, you know, sometimes I feel like saying to her, you know, if it's every single person you come in contact with that's out to get you and doing you wrong, you know, maybe you better look at yourself.
Absolutely.
But I haven't gotten to say that yet. But anyway, what it made me think of was what I'm seeing as the tablet of her heart is a lot of negativity, a lot of bitterness. And she's, you know, she's bitter. And so she has bitterness on her tablet.
Exactly.
And now all she sees in people and in things around her is bitterness. And so what an interesting idea about that tablet.
Isn't it?
Of our heart, yeah.
Because from, you know, from our heart, our treasure, that, you know, comes out of our mouth. Go ahead.
I really liked what Catherine said there because, you know, that's going, taking it a step further. What you just said is not only is it revealing what is on her heart or written on her tablet, it's also showing what she sees, whether it's true or
it's
not.
It's her reality,
that's a good point.
She's seeing the reflection of herself and everybody else but herself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge because it's projection. And it's huge because if you have that, and I would even go as far as to say sometimes it's hate. If you have that hate, that anger,
we've all met people like that.
You know, and it's very sad. But if you have that, you're going to see it in everybody else.
I mean, we all can say, it's an old-fashioned term my dad probably still uses, but, you know, so-and-so has got a chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, we all know people that there's always something that is going bad for them. There's always something. You know, the tire blew on the car. This
can never
happened.
Get a break.
Yeah, if I had any luck, it would be bad luck.
Bad luck,
you know?
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly.
So, you know, that does show something about the tablet of their heart, you know, and it's making me think, wow, what does the tablet of my heart say? And what do I want it to say? Am I living?
Well, let's look at this, and then we're going to talk about that in more detail. So Solomon says here in Proverbs 3:3, if you just joined us on Living the Good Life, that's where we are, Proverbs 3:3. Solomon says, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty, or in the New American Standard, do not let kindness and truth leave you. In other words, kindness and truth can be there, and they can slip away. And we're going to talk about how they slip away. How can they slip away? And it says, tie them around your neck. So this means these are qualities that we have to hang on to. And not just tie them around your neck, carve their initials on your heart. I remember when my oldest son, Ryan, proposed to his wife now of 16 years, Elizabeth, on the my grandpa's farm, he took her to this little place down by a stream, and there was this really neat tree. Before he ever took her there to propose to her, he had gone to that tree and carved a big heart in it, and Ryan loves Elizabeth, you know, and that was there, and that's where he took her to, and it's still there, of course, you know, to propose to her. 16 years later, it's still there, because when we do something as intense as to carve our initials, it says in the Message Bible, carve your, let you know, put these initials on your heart, or, you know, write them on the tablet
yeah.
of your heart. I mean, that's something that is not intended to leave, you know?
No, that's permanent.
It's permanent. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say, earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of other people.
So not just in God's eyes?
Isn't that interesting?
I just made a note. Is that really epitomizes what I just said about becoming an associate pastor?
Okay.
Because that's really... This is the end result.
Yeah, that is what she said a minute ago. Go ahead. Amplify on that.
This is the end result of, this is the goal. This is the purpose right here of it all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In fact, my mother bought me a bracelet to wear on special occasions. And of course, that was one of them. And it says, always have a heart for God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Wow.
And then, you know, that I have to, I was reading...
She's reading
about
ahead.
The gifts,
I see what
too.
She's
That's
doing.
All right.
She's
about
reading
the
ahead.
Gifts as well yeah. as, you know, if you have a gift,
yeah.
you use it.
You use
God
it.
God wants you to use that, and that's trust in the Lord. You have that gift for a reason.
Okay. Is kindness a gift?
Or is it?
Okay. What if somebody says, well, I don't have that gift, so I can just be mean
and snotty. Yeah.
You know, because some
not
people.
Not my gift.
Not my gift. I don't have to be kind.
Yeah. Then we refer to Corinthians, don't we?
Or love.
Yeah. The love chapter.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah, that's all we got to say. And what did Jesus say? You love.
That's right.
You know, I wonder, though, you know, here.
Go ahead.
Let love and faithfulness never leave you. That, to me, is saying we all have it.
Mm-hmm.
Not if you have love and faithfulness, you know, it'll never leave you.
Right.
It's saying it like that's something we
all
have.
You know why we have it? Okay. That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up before we go to the song. Let's run over to the right in your Bible. Go to Romans 5:5, and I'll tell you why we all have this gift. Okay. All right. And it's about it's 5. Okay, it is Romans 5:5. Well, let's start with 3 because in the Message Bible, I can't break it down. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. Passionate patience. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Now, what he does when he comes to live in us and we say, Jesus, come into my heart, he puts these virtues in us. You know, the love, the joy, the patience, the kindness.
Right.
These are virtues. These are the fruit of the Spirit. They're there when the Holy Spirit comes and invades us. Now, can we turn a deaf ear to the voice of the Lord saying, you know what? You weren't very kind right then. You know, can we sometimes miss the boat in the area of kindness? I think we do.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of times.
Yeah.
Free will. He gives us free will. Go ahead.
Sometimes you get angry. You're like, I'm not going to acknowledge that because I just want to be angry.
That's right. And sometimes we don't feel like being kind, and we can be kind or not be kind,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
But are you saying that everybody has love and kindness?
We've got the seeds of it in us.
Yeah.
By the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, what we do with that is up to us. We can grow it.
Well, which one is that? Does it fall on fertile?
Yes.
A rocky?
Right.
You know,
all the soil. Yes.
Matthew?
Yes, the parable of the sower.
The parable of the sower.
Right.
And, you know, this is just a sidebar. This is a freebie, too.
Okay.
Remember, we always talk about, so why do all these bad things happen?
Right.
That's right there in 5:3. So that's maybe why you needed to read that. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation.
Good stuff. So when we are having troubles, I think the human tendency is, if I'm got all this going on in my life, I don't feel like taking time to be kind to other people. Because if they only knew what I was going through, for heaven's sake.
Right.
Yeah, that's what Catherine was talking about, that person earlier.
Ah, okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so often we excuse our bad behavior because we are stressed, we are overburdened, we have this much going on in our lives, we can't take another stressor. You know, in our lives, we excuse bad behavior. Solomon, it's almost like he knew we would have those kind of days. And he goes, you know, because you're going to have these kind of days, here's what you got to write on the tablet of your heart. Kindness.
Yeah.
Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness. There's a bumper sticker. I'm trying to remember what it is. I've seen it before on people's cars about kindness. Oh, I'll think about it in a minute. But anyway, it's almost like Solomon knew that's, our human tendency is not necessarily to be kind, let's say, when we are being
right.
really stressed out. Do
right.
one of you want to comment on that? Please say yes.
Yes, I do. I wanted to comment on that Romans 5:3.
Okay.
About the part about, but we also rejoice in our sufferings mm-hmm. because we know that suffering produces perseverance.
Yes.
I have a really interesting note on that.
Please.
I think it's really good. We're not rejoicing because of our suffering. We're rejoicing in our suffering.
Amen.
Right. And the note on that says, Paul does not advocate a morbid view of life, but a joyous and triumphant one.
Praise God.
So I always struggled with that. You know, what? Rejoice in our suffering. Who's going to rejoice in their suffering? I don't understand that. Why am I keep hearing that preached to me, you know?
Right.
But you're not rejoicing because you're suffering. You have to see the hope, the love in your suffering. And that makes more sense to me.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then,
it really does.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you clarified that, because that's really what people focus on. That's why we always have that. I've had those questions, and we always
right.
have those questions. That's really a good point.
It's a great point. And so instead, see what the devil does. He comes in and he goes, you don't have to be kind right now because you're going through too much.
Right.
You're going through too much. You can snap at somebody.
You've gotten a raw deal. So
yeah.
if you snap,
right.
it's okay.
It's
you
okay.
Know. Yeah.
You can be mean and angry and strike out. That's fine. Because after all, you're going through stress, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, stress, you know, that word has become a byword for our society these days. You know, I don't know what they called it 200 years
yeah.
ago. You know, I don't know. But it is sometimes an excuse, if you ask me.
I agree. I do, because it justifies your actions.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just as guilty of it. You
Everybody
know, my
is,
whole thought
but.
Is I had a very bad week. I'm tired. And you know what? I really studied the Bible yesterday really hard. And he knows what my heart really is. I'm just too tired to engage in kindness right now.
Well, how many times do we sometimes have a bad day at the office and come home and treat the dog bad
yeah,
or the kids
yeah.
bad? Or
right.
Wow, we got a lot to talk about here. We're going to come back in just a moment. And I'm glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life. We are going to hear this wonderful song by Casting Crowns. I love this song. We've used it different times on this show. Love them like Jesus. And that's what we got to do, guys. Love them like Jesus. You have plenty of time. Call a friend. Ask them to join us on TANTALK1340.com. Push the listen button. And also, you can send in comments to us right now on the air, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Love them like Jesus.
Life is drifting away. They're losing the fight for another day. The life that she's known is falling apart. A fatherless home, a child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words, you're trying of it all. She's desperate for hope. like Jesus. Carry her to him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that he loves her. Stay by her side. And love her like Jesus. Gifts lie in wait in a room painted blue. A little blessing from heaven would be there soon. Hope fades in the night and blue skies turn to gray as a little one slips away.
Praise God. Love them like Jesus. Great song. We're glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life today from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Global Ministry, and we're glad you're here. You can comment. We've already got some emails coming in. Pastor@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com, and we want to hear your comments or questions. We are talking about kindness today. We are in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, where Solomon says, "Do not let kindness leave you. Bind it about your neck. Write it on the tablet of your heart." Now, we were just kind of opening, this discussion. So I'm going to really pick the two of you's brains here about this, a knee-jerk reaction. Let's talk about a knee-jerk reaction. If you sit on the edge of your doctor's table and he's checking you, giving a physical, history and physical, mm-hmm. he will hit your knee with a rubber mallet. And if you don't jerk, then he knows there's something wrong with your reflexes, something's wrong with your neurological, right? You should have a knee-jerk reaction. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm proposing that Solomon is saying kindness has got to be almost a knee-jerk reaction. Now, I hear you saying, Michelle, it's not always that way, correct?
Right, because it goes back to what we were talking about as far as, you know, when you're having a bad day, we're still human.
We're still human.
You know, when we have these human issues.
Okay.
You know, when you're frustrated, and I know that I liked when Pastor Jim said some time ago about, you know, we're never going to be perfect until we live in perfection with our Lord.
Okay.
Okay. We're always going to be human. And while this is, I just want to emphasize the fact that this is not an excuse, but, you know, we are still going to be human and we are going to have bad days. And sometimes it's just not, it's in my heart to always, always try to be kind. And the more I try to be that, the more that kindness does take me over.
It does.
And it becomes more and more and more. But I do have bad days still.
Okay.
All right. But what I want to say is, because on the commercial break, I was saying that if you have some kindness and love written on your heart, that it would be more of a kind response that you have to things at a bad time.
I do. I agree with that.
I understand that you're saying that, you know, frustrations and tiredness and stress is always going to happen. That's true, and you can have a bad day. But I'd like to suggest that even when you have a bad day, instead of, you know, cursing or putting your hand through a wall like you may have done, you know, before you were in
Once
the Bible.
Again, she's not talking about me.
Actually, that time I was.
Oh, that is so bad.
I want to say, you know, when you're in the Word and you're studying love, that maybe you're that response that could have really escalated bad. Okay. Maybe, you know, if you've written on your heart love and kindness, it's really not going to be the reaction that it could be.
All right,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you, and I want to bring it to baseball where Michelle and I can understand it.
Okay.
All right.
Let me make this point, too.
Okay.
We're talking about a knee-jerk reaction.
Knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. Because my knee-jerk reaction may not be that 100% of the
time.
Exactly. But I will process it.
But you're getting better as you grow into this walk with the Lord, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's bring it to baseball where we can understand it. And Catherine, if it were tennis, she would
understand it.
But try, Catherine. Okay, what the Rays, when they play a game, you know, they, even though they've played the night before or the afternoon before, before they start another game, what do? They go out and practice, okay? They go through some of the same little, they throw from, you know, the pitcher, you know, the catcher throws down to second. You know, he practices that move, right?
Mm-hmm.
They throw around the horn, you know, they throw the stuff they play, they're going to use all the time, double plays. Mm-hmm. They go through those same motions, you know, even though they just played a game the night before, you would think, oh, they got it down. But you see what they're doing, in my opinion, is they're writing those plays on the tablet of their heart.
Right.
It becomes more of a knee jerk the more they do it. It becomes easier to remember, oh, when the ball comes here, I've got to do this.
Right.
Right?
And you're conditioned to do that. And I totally get it. It's kind of like muscle memory.
Okay.
If you know, all the steps, universally, physical steps, when you go down steps, they're universally the same measurement. Okay. If that's different, you're going to lose your footing because your muscle remembers that.
All right.
I get that. And all I'm disputing right now is the fact that a knee jerk reaction, because I, on the flip side of that, and I'm only saying this to remember, you know, if you do stumble, it's okay, because
as you
throw that ball, because you know what, the catcher overthrows it.
It does.
But you know what? If he overthrows it, he overthrows it much less, maybe 1% of the time.
Right. What,
I mean, seriously, that's how practice it is.
Yeah.
When there's a base being stolen, seconds, somebody's attempting to steal second, very rarely do they overthrow it. But they do, and that's okay. But just know that if you that's a great analogy. I do like that analogy, too, in that if you practice, you do. And it will then, you'll be so conditioned that it will come out automatically. I'm just saying that knee-jerk reaction, sometimes when I've had a bad week, I think, no, you know what I really want to say? And this is what I say.
Oh, I know.
I think. But then what I say is, you know what, I understand. You have a great day. God bless.
And a lot of times, if we can just back off a minute and take a second, we will remember what's written on the tablet of our heart.
Right.
Oh, it's kindness.
Right.
It's not anger.
Yeah.
It's not rage.
It'll burn through you the more that you walk in this.
The more you walk.
And burn in a good way, by the way.
Yeah. The more you practice it, it comes out. It's more, and I propose that if you have, okay, let's say that the baseball players are practicing this double play, double play, double play, and they just keep getting the guys out, okay? Then they're more inclined to want to try the double play because, hey, you know, we've had success on this, and it feels good when we get the double play.
Right.
So I'm gonna go ahead and throw that ball. I may miss it, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it because it feels good when I succeed.
And you know what? That's awesome because that's exactly what Romans 5:5, what you were saying is what the joy of Jesus.
Yes.
And that's why the more kindness that you reveal.
Yes.
In your life, your actions speak, the easier it is, and it becomes so exciting because when you pay it forward, for example, you know.
Okay. Explain that. Some of our listening audience may not know the term pay it forward.
Well, for example,
they think it's a drive up.
Yeah, right. I was standing in line and I wasn't even paying attention, and I actually was like, what is going on? Why is it taking so long? We're in the 8 items or less line and there's only one dude with a Gatorade in front of me.
Yeah.
What's going on? This happened a couple months ago. But I was just in my own world, and I'm like, and then I felt this initial reaction of like, God, what's taking so long?
Right.
And then I looked, and it was $2.19. Dude, man, only had $2.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, and he's like, he's just looking, and the cashier's looking like, I wish I had the 19 cents. And I actually said, what's the matter? because I realized there was something going on. I'm like, oh, here. 19 cents.
Right.
Anyway, it's the 19 cents isn't the point. It's just that I gave something, and paying it forward is you give something because
right.
in the future it's going to come back to
Absolutely.
You. And you shouldn't do that expecting something to come back
right,
in the future.
Right.
But it just does because that's God.
Are you saying that that's the way kindness works?
That's the way kindness works.
Have you ever paid for somebody,
you
know, just like you said, have you ever paid for somebody's groceries or something
mm-hmm.
or added
or
to
the
their...
toll booth? Hey, could you pay for the next five people behind me at the toll booth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of thing. And that brings so much excitement and joy that you want to keep doing it.
Oh, it's just like when the double play is successful, correct? And you go, hey, I'll try it again.
Yeah,
exactly.
Catherine,
yeah.
You got a comment on all this.
I'm in total, it said perfectly. I can't think of a better way, but the baseball example
is
great.
Bill, is that on record? Okay, good. Just want to make sure that was on record. Catherine said that. I see that.
That was said perfectly.
It was.
Oh, my. Wait a minute.
Perfectly.
Wait a minute. Michelle explained it perfectly.
Yes.
Okay.
From Catherine's mouth.
You know, I think that we don't put as much importance on this aspect of kindness as we really should.
I totally agree because people get hung up on the literal word.
They get, exactly. I was going to say legalism.
Yeah.
And they do. They get hung up on, oh, well, this, you know. And like, hey, Jesus walked around this earth. What does it say in Acts 10:38? Jesus walked this earth doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. It does not say Jesus walked around this earth lecturing everybody on how they should behave. It says he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And we get hung up on control issues. Well, we should do a show on control sometime.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not that I could speak personally.
I was going to say, I don't know.
But scholar perspective.
But I mean, seriously, I mean, kindness is so important in our daily walk, our daily Christian walk, but just living, going to work. You know, all the things that we do, interaction with our parents on the phone or whatever it may be, siblings, or you want to comment on any of that?
Well, what I'm thinking of when I'm listening is most people probably would describe themselves as kind.
Okay.
But are their actions really showing kindness? I mean, kindness, people would think of kindness means good. Am I good?
Tenderhearted is
tender-hearted.
I looked it up and it said that the definition, the truest definition of kindness was tenderhearted. I find that an interesting word, tenderhearted, kindness. Think about that. We can really run with that, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, what I'm getting to is, you know, if people heard we're sitting here talking about kindness, I mean, you know, we're kind. Everybody's kind. I'm a good person. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what I think the point you're making is more than that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And how do you bridge that gap, you know?
And how do you realize and come to recognize whether there's a deficit of kindness in your life?
Right.
You know, I can see the deficit in my bank account. It's in black and white. You know what I'm saying? I can see the fact that when I was playing recently baseball with my grandchildren just recently, that I wasn't running as fast as I used to. Or when I was tackled, you know, playing football, it hurt more when I landed. I can see those deficits in the fact that my body is aging, okay? But I think sometimes we seem to be blind, and I'm not going to preach here, but we seem to be blind to the deficit of kindness.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's
and you know,
wild.
It's like depression. You're there. You know, it's a process. You don't just suddenly become depressed. And
right.
And that's even clinical depression. You don't just suddenly become clinically depressed or depressed. It's a process.
Right.
And but what you do see that process with, and I'm going to use the example Catherine used of that person you were talking about earlier. You do see the deficit in her kindness.
Right.
In the way she treats people. Now,
that's
whether
what
she
I'm
does
talking
or not,
about.
We don't know, but I mean,
other people,
I mean, even
can
on
see.
A, yeah, even on another basic level, I mean, most people would say they are kind. Yes, they're kind because they can think of an example when they were kind. It could have been 5 years ago.
I gave a dollar to that homeless guy down Williams
Park 5 years ago, and they think, yes, I'm a kind person. But I think what...
Even though I wouldn't let him touch me.
What we're talking about is kindness on a daily basis, you know, and people that don't, you know, think outside of themselves, you know, if they have to go back 5 years to think of a kind act that they've done, I think we would agree there's probably a lack of kindness.
Right, if they have to. Can't remember.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make that point about, you know, kindness towards others on a frequent.
And I think this has something to do with being tenderhearted.
Yeah.
Which maybe we'll talk more about in the next hour, this tenderhearted piece. What does that mean? Because, Michelle, you proposed a few minutes ago that a lot of people are not kind because they're very legalistic, very law-driven.
Right.
We're not talking about cops here.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's their justification for it. And,
okay.
You know,
what do you mean by that? Legalistic, law-driven. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think we even actually talked a little bit of it on Wednesday night when we were talking about Matthew 18 about when there's a conflict, you should go to the person. If you da 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 da, you know, it does not resolve, you take it to two people. Da 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 da. You bring it to the church. Da 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 da. The end is you treat them like a pagan or a bad tax.
Yeah, tax collector.
Collector, thank you.
The IRS.
Yeah. And people will say, you know what? I tried to be nice to them. They're not mm-hmm. nice to me. So I did what I had to do according to Matthew 18. So I'm going to treat them like a pagan.
Yeah. Which is not love.
It isn't. It isn't. And that was in that Matthew 18 where we went with that, just for clarification, is within a church body. And that's specifically, you know, that's a whole nother thing that we're talking about for just treating each other as, and I said this Wednesday night, I loved it when Pastor Jim said, everybody on this earth is God's child.
Ooh.
Everybody. The Muslims, the Asians, the Americans, everybody is God's child.
Amen.
And that's who Jesus said, to love me and everybody else like I've loved you. And when people get caught up in the legalities, the logistics, the laws of, you know,
ooh, that's a good
that
point.
Kind of stuff, they're like, well, you know what? They're not Christians, so I don't have to love them or be kind to them anymore.
Well, God so loved
that's
the
how I
world.
At it.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Right.
That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are so glad you joined us on Living the Good Life today. Stick around for another hour. We're going to get in more detail and more depth here on the subject of kindness. And now it's time for Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Welcome, Arkansas, Mississippi, and all of the good listeners in that area of the country. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along here with Pastor Michelle and our dear Catherine. And we're having a great time today talking about the subject of kindness. But before we go on with that, our website, Catherine, can you tell them how they can find it and what can they find on it in relation to our radio shows?
Okay, it's a great resource. It's www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and it has information about Beacon of Hope, service times, what our mission is, what our ministries are, what our focus is. It has information about this radio broadcast. It also has a PayPal donation area. If you'd like to support either the radio broadcast or Beacon of Hope Ministries, you can do that there.
Spoken like a good treasurer that you are. No, but why would people want to plant into a ministry? I mean, why would people put finances, which they do, by the way, and we are so grateful for every dollar that comes in to Beacon of Hope.
Yeah.
But why would they want to?
Well, they see that, you know, what our mission is and that we want to reach so many people. And, you know, in this world, to do that, we need funds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're paying to be on the radio. We're paying to keep the church, you know, going. And there's a lot of expenses that go along with that. So if, you know, you believe, you know, in what we're doing, and you know that once you give, you'll get back, we would
pay it forward.
We would love to be the beneficiary of that.
Sure. So they can just go to beaconofhopeministries.com and use PayPal.
Yep.
So praise God. That's great.
Praise God.
Amen. Michelle, what if they happen to miss last week's radio show and they wondered what we talked about? How can they access that?
Easy. You just go right to that same website, which is the beauty of this website. And a gazillion kudos out to Maxine up in Georgia, who makes this
great
possible.
Job.
Wow.
Doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. And it's uploaded on our website. And it goes back...
This whole year. Every 2010 show on there now, and we've got some from the past also.
And they're titled, so you'll know what it's about. You know, if you're like, oh yeah, that's the one I heard. I'm really looking for the one talking about kindness and avoiding conflict or whatever. And you'll be able to go do that. And if you're having trouble sleeping at 2 o'clock in the morning, or you know what I've done in the past is I was at a job in a cubicle, and I turn it on. Because mine was a lot of data entry and writing reports. That was pretty mindless work. But I was able to listen to that while I'm working.
Yeah.
It's great to listen. If you have that type of job that permits that, it's a great
opportunity.
Or turn
it on in your house and go do your housework and you can hear it. And it's just, it's great. A lot of people listen to talk radio these days.
Yeah, I love it.
And that's what this station is, and that's what we're doing right now. And it's fun to be able to really share our ideas. I look forward to the show all week long. Mm-hmm. I just love doing this show.
Fun.
It is. Why? Why is it fun?
Well, it's just, you know, the biggest thing that I get out of it is, as many of you continual listeners know, that Catherine and I live in a neighborhood that we're close with our neighbors, but we also do things as a neighborhood too. And it really reminds me, we have a group of us, of five or six of us, that get together and watch a show. And that's what it reminds me of, is that we're just sitting at the house and we just had our dinner, or, you know, because we usually go out to lunch with the church before we come here. And then we just talk about things happening. And it's just a free flowing conversation. Like, just like, you know, today's episode could be very controversial to some people.
Right.
And we've had a difference in opinions that we shared each other's perspectives.
Right.
And it's not ugly or nasty. It's just insightful.
Insightful. Yeah.
And I sit here going, see, yeah, that's a totally great example you just had, Catherine, of that person and the challenges that that person's faced with, and and with the analogies and all that stuff, and it brings you to a higher level of understanding the word.
Well, when God first gave me the vision for ministry, clear back in 1984, He kept saying these words to me: "I want you to teach practical Christian living." Okay. Now, He's never changed His mind. That is what He gave me, clear back in 1984. I know you guys weren't born then, but I'm just telling you right now, that's when it was. It was a while back. Okay. But that is what we do here on the radio. That's what we do at church at Beacon of Hope. We're about practical Christian living, learning how to handle situations in our lives that come up that need maybe attitude adjustments, need behavioral adjustments, you know? So we learn to be more like Jesus is what I'm really trying to say here, you know?
And that it's okay to be human as long as you learn from that.
Yes.
and move forward to strive to be like Jesus.
And I think that in our teaching at Beacon of Hope on the radio and in our services, that's what we really try to stress. How would Jesus handle this? You know, the old, what would Jesus do? But that's really very, very much what it's all about. So we're glad you've joined us today. You can send in an email. Catherine, tell them how they can do that. And then we're going to get to this first song for this hour.
Okay. Let us know what you're thinking at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen. So send an email. Catherine's got the computer right up here. And listen to this group, FFH, and this song is You Love Me Anyway.
That's it, I've had enough. I think I'm giving up. I can't stay on this balance beam. I thought I had it all.
Love me anyway, in spite of me. And aren't we glad God does love us in spite of us? Because sometimes we aren't, we don't react the way we should. There's, you know, that's what we're saying here. No, we're not proposing, the three of us today, that we always react perfectly to what life brings our way. So no. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 3 and see what Paul says about this to the church of Colossae. And it's part of our vision for Beacon of Hope. And it's Colossians 3:12. And I'm going to read 12 through 14 in the message. And then you guys can read them in your translations. We're going to talk about this. So, chosen by God for this new life of love. Did you know God has chosen you for a new life? And it's a life of love.
Amen.
And Michelle's microphone just went south or somewhere. So now it's back.
There we go.
All right. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. 12, 13, and 14, Catherine, what's it say?
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Wow. Yeah. You know, we're supposed to be dressing in layers, right? When it's cold. Not mm-hmm. now. Not now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, up in the north, when it gets cold this winter, what do they get on the news and they say, you know, if you're going out in this minus 22 degree weather, you need to put on layers.
Layers. Your snorkel.
Why
your
layers?
Snorkeler. I forget how well you call it now. Those big, heavy jackets.
Those big things. Yeah. Yeah, those down jackets. Yeah. And you can barely see.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Why layers? And what is Paul talking about here? And did you want to read yours in the Living?
Only if you want to read it. I liked how it read there.
Okay.
I mean, it's just...
Okay. Is it similar to yours?
Yeah, it's very similar.
Put on this life of love, dress in the wardrobe yeah. God picked out for you. I remember as a little girl, my mother would pick out my clothes. And my aunts thought it was cute that there were three of us, three little girls, so they would buy matching dresses.
Yeah. That's always
and
great.
You know what? The bad person here that had the bad deal was my youngest sister, Karen, who had to wear it three times as it was passed down to her. But you know, that wardrobe that a parent picks out for you. Well, God has already picked out our wardrobe, Catherine. He says, here's what I want you to look like. I want you to dress like this, you know? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have to say it reminds me of Catherine.
Okay,
you know,
let's talk about Catherine.
It's true because Catherine's, you know, it's so beautiful how she accessorizes. And when even the blouse she has on now has like little gems on it. And
aww.
She has the right, she matches the same, the rings. And
yeah.
And she loves gemstones.
Okay.
So they used to be these gem guys that went to her work. And she'd get a necklace with the matching gemstone
yeah.
earrings.
Yeah.
And she would clothe herself and accessorize herself, you know, in the blouse of mercy,
yes.
the earrings of kindness, you know, the rings of humility
ooh.
Kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think of the more accessorizing God accessorizes us. You know, with that tenderheartedness, compassion, you know.
It's all got to come together, right?
Right. Okay.
And at the
together.
Risk of bringing up baseball again, how would Evan Longoria, the third baseman for the Rays, look in your little tennis outfit?
Oh, I think he'd be kind of cute.
Oh, no, that's not the answer.
Okay.
You're supposed to say out of place.
Yes.
Right?
Not consistent with what we would expect.
Unless Carl
yeah.
Crawford and Bartlett.
Yeah, can you picture
Gabe
all those guys
and Carlos?
Yeah, football and uniforms Carlson. Or tennis outfits. Or that would not be the wardrobe that Coach Madden picked out for them.
No.
They would have to, he would say, no, here's what I want you to look like.
He has those going, remember his away? Trips.
Yes.
They all, you know, they had like a hockey theme and they have the
yeah.
cowboy theme, kind of same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Coach Madden said, this is what we're doing.
Okay. So, I mean, there's somebody in charge and we have somebody in charge of us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And so Paul is saying here, your wardrobe has been picked out for you by God.
Yes.
Okay. Better than my mother when I was a little girl. Okay, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Here's what you put on. Okay? Now, for baseball players, they've got to get the undershirt that's got the Nike emblem right here. They're
mm-hmm.
all wearing that this
yeah.
season, you know? And they've got the jersey,
the
powder blue for Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
We got all those different things, the pants.
Ball cap.
The cap. You never see anybody go out there on the field without a ball cap, do you?
Nope.
I mean, they just don't. They don't go out without their cleats.
Nope.
Because they
got to
run.
They have cleats, their socks.
Exactly. Okay. Now, I love this because God gets so practical with our everyday living. And he says, okay, here's the wardrobe you need to be wearing. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Now, the first two are just fantastic here. Actually, I see Tony Dungy's title of his book that I have on my coffee table, Quiet Strength. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. I love that. And compassion and kindness. So this topic of this show today is, I don't think I've ever done a show on kindness, by the way.
Really?
I cannot remember that.
I was wondering if you had.
I cannot remember that. We just let the Holy Spirit lead. We don't have a list, and I never know. But I just can't remember a show on kindness. But I find it to be a fascinating topic, Catherine. I mean, God says dress in kindness. Well, if it's written on the tablet of your heart, okay? I mean, baseball players don't go into the dugout or the dressing room and say, what shall I wear today? I mean, it's already standing there. I mean, don't they just put out their the equipment guys, hang their uniform for the day?
Right.
It's clean. It's ready to go. Their socks are there. Everything's there. Right?
Right.
It's picked out for them. Evan doesn't say, today I'm going to wear blue. I don't care about you guys. You guys can wear white. It never happens that way.
Right.
The other thing that I think about, too, is, you know, we'll use Evan.
Let's use Evan.
He doesn't.
Because I just got a new blue Evan Longoria shirt.
Jersey. It's not like Evan says, hey, you know what? I'm really down with the pants and the cleats and the hat and stuff, but I'm going to wear my other jersey. You know, and it's...
I'm going to wear that Boston Red Sox one I have in the
right, exactly. I'm going to wear the Boston away jersey. And I think of that as like mercy and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what it says in the living word here is, you know, you can't go out there with kindness and ugliness in your heart.
There you go.
And
there you go.
And like the analogy I used with Catherine is she has this blue shirt. Mm-hmm. And she always wears her blue gems necklace and her earrings. And if she can't find those earrings, she'll change her whole outfit.
There you go.
So it'll match.
All right. Okay.
You know, and even the perfume.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And that's what we're talking about here, too, is it's coordinated.
So
these things are coordinated.
They're coordinated together. That's a good point. You want to amplify on that?
It's just like I said, is, you know, where I was saying that knee-jerk reaction, you know, that we grow into over time, and it gets more and more, is you can't have kindness written on your tablet and anger or hatefulness or bitterness.
Right.
You can't have mercy without, you can't have mercy next to condescendingness.
Yes.
You can't have mercy with condescendingness.
Yes.
You can't, you know, you can't say, like I said earlier, oh, I gave a dollar to the homeless. I almost touched his hand. You know what I mean? You
can, exactly.
Those don't match, you know, which,
excellent,
you know.
Excellent point.
So
okay.
They don't coordinate. They
so you're saying that these are coordinating virtues, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. That's interesting. There's five of them in the Message Bible. Five means God's grace.
Five in the living, too.
Is five in the living? Comment on that, Catherine. What do you feel about these virtues, this outfit that God has picked out for us to wear, this wardrobe, if you will?
Well, I think, and I'm going to start with the verse 12, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with those five things. And I think that the note I have on this is interesting. Divine election.
Okay.
Saying that we're the chosen people.
Yes, right.
Is a constant theme in Paul's letters. But the Bible never teaches that it dulls human responsibility. On the contrary, as this verse shows, it is precisely because Christians have been chosen for eternal salvation that they may put forth every effort to live the godly life. Because we have been chosen for eternal salvation, that we must put forth every effort to live a godly life. For Paul, divine sovereignty and human responsibility go hand in hand.
That's very good.
Yeah. And I think that analogy of clothing, you know, brings it to the human.
Exactly.
You know, God's chosen people, the divine divine election is something kind of out of our reach or grasp somewhat, but he's bringing it into with the clothing analogy into the human, is showing the humanness of it.
You know, that is excellent. And I think that so often people have issues when they go to churches and people don't get along like they should. And we are really, we're in this new series right now, Offense, Take It or Leave It. And we are hitting issues head on because we don't want people, we want church to be a safe place. Let's put it this way. We want people to be treated a certain way. We want kindness to rule. And that if ugliness happens in a situation, that would be outside the norm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We want the kindness to be the norm. And Friday, when my mother was in surgery, I was in the surgery waiting room that faces the street, the parking lot of Countryside Meese Hospital. And looking out on that, I was just standing there because we were in there for 12 hours in that little space. And I got bored and I was standing up and I was looking out. And I just did a double take. I saw something really strange. A patient had walked out of the hospital and gone to the parking lot to get something out of a car. And she had a hospital gown on and those little pink hospital socks. And the back of her gown was open.
Oh, my.
And I don't know why nobody noticed this, but I noticed it from the second floor. Yeah. And I said to my sisters, come here, look. This woman is she's not dressed right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go out in the parking lot to get something out of your car when you're in a hospital gown.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I was just like, where's her IV pole?
Yeah,
you know,
right,
it was just like really weird, you know, and it just caught my attention because it wasn't the norm. You don't see that. If you're going to go get your car, something out of your car, put your clothes on, for heaven's sake. Especially your underwear. But anyway.
I think if you can walk to your car, you probably can put your clothes on.
Evidently. It was just bizarre. But, you know, this idea just came to me mm-hmm. because this is a great picture lesson, I think. I love the way Paul does this. Showing us wardrobes, you know. And if something is weird, like that situation was, people notice it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I am proposing that we have to be the church of the Lord in this day and age and in all the day and ages. We have to be different than the workplace. We've got to be a safe place for people. We've got to be a place where people say the norm of that congregation is that they wear compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline.
Yes.
That's your only answer?
You know, I'm processing it because
I'm thinking
right
she wanted
answer.
A little more than that.
It's the right answer, Connie. That is.
Connie told me to do that.
I'm teasing.
I think yes, because I said yes because I was just thinking of the new folks that we've had,
right?
And the common theme.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you come to Beacon of Hope?
Right.
And like, God, you guys are just like family here. I'm so comfortable here. And even our church itself, the physical dwelling, it's been said, oh, this is so cozy. It's
uh-huh.
comfortable.
Right.
And you hear that.
Yes.
And they see, you know, we'll take it even a step further as a church body.
Yes.
Not only do we as individuals clothe ourselves with these virtues, but our church does too.
Exactly.
The accessories in our church. We have a table that we sit around and
right.
And we have a couple of comfy chairs and and we have plants and we have pictures.
Right.
You know, not just, you know, not a stale structure
oh,
with
no.
metal beams.
It's not
and
like that
sort
at
of
all.
Things. Warm colors.
It's
and
comfy.
Yeah, it's comfy and it's cozy and it's safe.
Yes.
And when you hear those words, mm-hmm. I really do equate those to people just feel safe.
Yeah.
And it spills over to, you know, the individual.
Right.
And those people know, you know, this is the expectation.
Right.
That God has for us, you know, to clothe.
Tell me this. Is it more comfortable to be dressed in compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline? Or is anger, rage, hatred, bitterness, and strife more comfortable?
Definitely the first group.
Okay.
Is more comfortable.
Why? Why?
Why is it more comfortable? Oh, it's more peaceful. Those attributes are all peaceful.
Okay.
And the others that you mentioned are all chaotic. And anxiety. But along with what Michelle just said, what she said made me think this question. Okay, we're God's chosen people, and we're asked to clothe ourselves in these things. How are people going to know you're clothed with these things?
By the way you react, don't you think?
Yeah.
By the way you come across, by the way you look, is there a smile on your face or is there a...
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you snap? Do you criticize? Are you correcting? Or do you discipline your judgments and say, wait a minute, just be quiet here. Let's be kind and... Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a really good question.
It is. And, you see that person walking down the street that says hello and smiles at everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, how are you? And the other person are just like, they almost feel forced to say hi and smile back.
That's a good point.
And they walk and they're like, oh, that was kind of neat. She smiled and said hi.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a reflection because, you know, you just want to share this happiness with everybody the more you get it. And can I read further past there?
You can, but let's do this song and hold that. And as soon as we come back, start right there.
It's piggybacking off what Catherine said.
Don't forget where you are.
No,
let's do Amazing Love by Michael W. Smith and Melinda Doolittle.
My steps were wandering. My lips were hungering. My heart was thundering for something more than all those things. My words were crying out. My faith was dark and down. My life was lost without this one amazing love washing over me.
About God's love and his amazing love. Living the good life, beacon of hope. Michelle, what was the point you were making before we went to Michael's song?
It was when you asked Catherine about, what's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the clothes that you wear, the clothes of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, or
yes,
ugliness and all that. And it goes further on. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony.
Woo.
I've always loved that word harmony because it just works in every part of your
yes.
life. And when there's
yes.
harmony, like you think of music and there's harmony and you're just like swaying your head. It's just like
yeah.
so peaceful mm-hmm. and comforting. And then it said, and let the peace.
Yes.
The peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace.
Amen.
And be thankful. And I think that's really why, you know, once again, we have the choice. We have the free will to clothe ourselves with these attributes. And if you ask yourself, well, why should I clothe myself? It's because they're clothes of peace.
Yes.
And that is the best.
You said a word here, a key word. You said comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say they were comfortable? You know what it feels like, Catherine, when you put something on, you wear it, and it's just like not comfortable.
Yeah, like
you know?
Wool.
Yeah. You know, a wool sweater.
Yeah. I have a wool allergy, so I can't have any wool.
You can't
wool
have
on
any
anything.
Of that. When I first started real estate in 1992, we were still wearing those Century 21 gold jackets, black skirts, you know, or black pants and hose, you know, all that.
Hose.
And, you know,
those are uncomfortable.
Praise God now, you know, we just wear like a golf shirt or a polo shirt that says, you know, Century 21. But, I mean, those were the days. And in 95 degree weather, you know, we were wearing these outfits. So, yeah, did everybody know us? Sure. But were we comfortable? No. You know, we can have a tag. I've got a shirt on today that's a Beacon of Hope shirt. I can wear this into a grocery or somebody, and somebody may say, well, that's interesting. That's probably a ministry or something, right? But it doesn't really reflect who I am unless they interact with me, right? Okay, now, Paul is saying here, we've got to put on these attributes so that it doesn't matter. We don't have to work up kindness. We write it on the tablet of our hearts, so we don't have to work it up. Oh, I got to be kind. Got to be kind. Got to be kind. Oh, I need to be kind here. Oh, help God, help me be kind. Help me be kind. Please, God, help me be kind. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Although I will have to say, sometimes you might have to with certain situations.
But I mean,
most of the time, and honestly, I'm telling you, the God's honest truth.
Tell
here,
us the God's honest
the
truth.
God's honest truth is it is infectious.
Ooh.
When you start feeling that, you're and this is inside of you. If it's like a bacteria. Once it starts in you, the good bacteria, as Catherine shared with
yes,
me.
Yes, the good bacteria.
There's good bacteria and bad bacteria.
That's right.
There's good
ask
bacteria.
The microbiologist
exactly.
over here to my right.
And this is the good bacteria because it just regenerates exponentially.
Okay.
Because once you feel, and that's giving this kindness away.
Mm-hmm.
Once you feel it, it just brings so much joy into your life, and you want to continue to do it.
Right.
You know, I know that's the case with some people who have money and that can do this, is they give it generously.
Right.
I mean, Bill Gates is one of those generous
givers. Oh, he's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, he even gives to the public school system
here
in the Tampa Bay area. And I can imagine what a wonderful feeling that is.
To write that check.
To
wow.
write that check and say, you know, how much, you know, and he probably does continue to do it because he sees how much. I just read something about Jorge Posada's son. He had this, I can't remember what the disease is actually. It's a cranial disease where they had to reconstruct his son's skull because it didn't grow properly and his brain wouldn't be able to grow properly.
He's a catcher for the Yankees.
Yankees. And which really aggravates me because I like him now.
Yeah.
He goes, and his son's okay. He's a healthy, this happens when they're very young, and he's a healthy 11-year-old, I think. He goes, but you know what? I know this happened because I'm in a position where I can help other children.
Wow.
And families who cannot afford this expensive treatment because it's expensive and it takes many. There was a family he helped, 10 different surgeries that were unsuccessful for their child.
Wow.
And he goes, I know this happened to me. And you know, that makes him feel good that
that's
able
kindness.
To do it. That is
that
total
is kindness.
Kindness.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that though, because there's people that don't have that kind of money to contribute to things. So there's other areas of kindness, not just financial kindness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One of the opportunities I have is I work for a VA hospital, so I come in contact with a lot of veterans.
Yes.
And a lot of times I'll be, you know, going to lunch or walking to another part of the lab, and I pass one of the veterans, and they want to stop and talk. And, you know, they'll ask maybe for directions, but they really want to tell me about, you know, something that happened with their medical care or something that happened when they were in service. And I know that they just want to talk. And do I have a lot on my plate? Of course. Do I have, you know, more than 8 hours of work? Yes. But when I stop and take the time.
Yes.
And listen to
That's
the
kind.
Story, they're so happy. And you can tell how excited they are that, you know, I listen to the story and I ask questions about their life.
Wow.
And so it's not always money to
no,
show acts of it's, kindness.
It's
giving
it's
of yourself.
That comes
yeah.
from, you know,
yeah.
that God has poured out in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. And then what we do with that, do we let it blossom into kindness? Do we realize that kindness is expected of us?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
it's not like if you want to. Paul says here, chosen by God, picked out for you. Here's your wardrobe. God picked out for you. Not if you feel like it, be compassionate, mm-hmm. be kind, be humble, have quiet strength, have discipline. Not if you feel like it or if you're in a good mood that day.
Right.
You know, I think so often we just...
It's hot, or, hot and cold sometimes.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and it's you're absolutely right about what you were saying, because it's not just financial. It's everyday living. You know,
yes.
how many people go out... to dinner or just to have an after dinner drink or coffee or whatever. And they are engaged with servers all the time.
Right.
And they're under a lot of stress. And we went out last night and one of our servers goofed and put somebody else's check on
in a big way.
And, yeah.
goofed in a big way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never had that happen before.
No.
He came back to me and told me that he actually swiped my card to pay somebody else's bill.
Oh, my gosh.
And because he did that, he explained to me that it authorizes it right away.
Because of the weekend.
No, any time that
yeah.
you pay with a credit card,
right.
it's going to authorize that amount of money on your
oh
card.
My.
And then there's a second step. I wish I didn't have to learn all this, but I did. There's a second step that actually completes the transaction. So first there's an authorization held on your card that means you can cover that bill. And then a second step,
wow,
it completes it. And
okay.
that money is actually taken from your account.
Right.
So evidently
Obviously
he felt there was nothing
it.
He could do. He had already
you can't.
Run it to authorize it. So it had to stay on there. And after 2 or 3 days, if the second step
because
is never happens, you know, or yeah, maybe it's just one day, you know, if it's business days, if that transaction never gets completed, then that authorization drops
oh, okay.
off. But he was so upset, you know,
he kept explaining
the place was filled. He had so many customers and he kept saying, it's the weekend. This authorization's on there. It's holding that money. There's nothing I can do. If anything happens, if something bounces, I said, no, it's okay. It's not going to bounce. It's everything.
Well, the reality is he kept explaining because
yeah.
he obviously, you know, has dealt with customers that aren't so forgiving or whatever,
right.
or understanding. And we're like, dude, we understand it is so... It's you're human. You made
right,
a mistake.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where I was going with it is,
that's a good point.
You know, to have that understanding and not to say, well, you better fix it right now.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
you're
I
taking
could have
money
said,
out of me.
Yeah. I could have
right.
said, how can you hold my money all
exactly.
weekend?
Exactly.
You did what?
Yeah.
You know, I could have
right.
really gotten irate.
Absolutely.
And that's kindness,
and
understanding the other person's
just, both of us
tenderhearted.
Just stayed mm-hmm. calm. I'm like, I wanted the explanation. I said, why can't you just cancel it out? Or credit it back, and he explained to me how it worked, and I just calmly said, okay, you know, I'll just check my account later and make sure it didn't actually get deleted from there. You know, we stayed very calm, and you could tell, you know, he was like,
yeah.
oh, they're not going to blast me. I'm not,
well,
they're not asking for the manager. You know, he just,
yeah.
he knew he messed up, and he really thought he was going to be bearing the brunt of something.
Sure.
You know?
Well, you are being kind. In your reaction.
Yeah.
And we're saying that kindness is tenderheartedness.
Right.
So, I think that even definition goes along with this thing about being legalistic.
Yep.
And go ahead with that, whatever you want to say on that.
No, I was listening. I was right where you are, is because, you know, you talk about how Catherine asks, well, how do you show it in every part of your life?
Yes.
When you're driving down the road.
Right.
And you're frustrated with that driver in front of you. You know, I just read something about, you know, you're from Boston. If you don't peel out the minute the light changes from red to green, you know, and having that, oh, you know, they're just taking their time. They're doing the proper thing, leaving, you know, right. Going past the green light. That's kindness.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if it's somebody who's elderly, for example, right. you get them all, they can tell when somebody's like riding on their back end of their car, that going out to eat and having understanding and patience with your servers, going and when you're walking down the street and you see somebody crossing the street, you stop your car because that kind of thing. It's every little itty bitty thing as yeah. big as Jorge Posada and Bill Gates, as small as I totally understand, man. You swiped the card wrong.
That's great.
You're a human being.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it say about us when we do begin to practice what is written on the tablet of our heart? And by the way, how do we write it on the tablet of our heart? How do we write kindness and truth on the tablet of our heart?
You live it.
You live it. Okay.
I mean, you continue to live it. And, you know, because I really think there's some people that don't understand that concept because, I mean, this is obviously an extreme case, but the people that have lived in abusive,
yeah,
physically, mentally abusive relationships from
right.
childhood.
Right. It's harder for them to show this kindness,
difficult.
Is it not?
So
if you've been treated a certain way for a long period of time?
When you asked Michelle, she said you live it. Or do you live it because you've written it? What comes first?
That's a good
it
question.
It is a good question, and I think it's individually answered.
Okay. That being true, if we study the Word of God and we are exposing ourselves to the truth of what God says about us, and Paul says here, chosen by God, here's your wardrobe. So we're told, here's your wardrobe, here's what you're going to wear, just like the Rays are told mm-hmm. what they have to wear. Okay, then we make choices all day long, do we
mm-hmm.
not?
Yes.
And as we begin, like the baseball players that go over the double play every day, they work the double play
practice.
Every day. Practice, practice. My mother used to say practice makes perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more we practice, the more we get used to it, and we know what kindness feels like. And so we are beginning to write it on the tablet of our heart, I propose to you, by studying the Word.
Mm-hmm.
By reading what is expected of us and beginning to do it. And when we don't do it, when we mess up, when we aren't kind, when we're mean, when we're nasty, when we're rude, we know it.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yes.
How does it feel when we're rude and nasty or mean to a spouse, a partner, a friend at work, a family member, your mother, somebody? How does it feel when you don't have on the right outfit?
Icky. Uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Itchy wool.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
It kind of eats
yeah.
away at you. You don't feel good about it.
No, you really don't.
No.
Especially once you've, what God's Word says, once you've been enlightened with the truth of God's Word, it's really gets, you know, you notice it. You know, so those that have listened to the show and us right here doing this show, don't you think we're going to be more aware starting a minute after that we go off the air of whether or not we're kind?
Yeah.
I expect you two to be kind to me now as soon as we go off the air. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah.
Once it's brought to our attention, don't you think that we are more kind?
Yeah, I think. I'm more kind from being in the Word and
yes.
reading
yes.
what Paul's saying here about this.
Right.
And I don't know, it was probably about a month ago, Pastor, you might not remember, but when another teaching you had referred us to, I think it was the first part we were in, the Proverbs. I know why we've read that before.
Sure.
And I remember then thinking, you know, this was the example that Jesus set, and this is how they're asking us. This is how he's teaching we should be, to love
yes.
one another. And I know ever since that, I've noticed my actions more.
Praise
so I
God.
Think what comes first, writing it on your heart, is writing it on your heart.
Writing it on your heart.
If you're in the Word and you're understanding what God's chosen people should, you know, be clothed with, if you really understand that scripture, then your actions will reflect that.
There you go. Growing up in missionaries, kids boarding school in Central America, if one of us did something bad, let's say tell a lie, we had to take a tablet and we had to write, "I will not lie to the teacher again," or something like that, let's say. You've heard this. I mean, this happened. I grew up doing that. And we had to write it 100 times or 200 times or whatever. I will do my homework, or I will be honest and not lie about my homework or whatever. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I've had
over
to do
and
that.
Over again. Have
these,
you ever had to do
on
that?
On these right here, and you have to write it 150 times. And God, that's miserable.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just
and you begins to get it down
I'm
the inside
gonna
of you, right?
I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do this again.
Listen, we're going to come back to Michelle and Catherine in a minute. Listen to John 3:16, Because of Love, Max Lucado and Natalie Grant. We'll come back for some final comments.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Aren't you glad the verse doesn't read, for God so loved the rich, or for God so loved the famous, or for God so loved the Europeans or the Africans or the sober or successful, the young or the old? No. When we read John 3:16, we simply and happily read, for God so loved the world. How wide is God's love? Wide enough for the whole world. Are you included in the world? Then you are included in God's love. Oh, but surely there's a limit. Surely there has to be an end to his love. You'd think so, wouldn't you? But David the adulterer never found it. Paul the murderer never found it. Peter the liar never found it. When it came to life, they did hit bottom. But when it came to God's love, they never did. When asked to describe the width of his love, Jesus stretched one hand to the right and the other to the left, and had them nailed in that position so you would know he died loving you.
Because of love, he left his throne and made this earth his home. He did it willingly for you and me. With heaven left behind, he came to save all mankind from sin and shame. He could
God, great song, but we're going to have to cut it short a little bit. We're talkative today, aren't we? I just wanted you two to have time to wrap it up and say what you want to say about this topic of kindness, because I think it's such a vital, important, and we were just talking, we cannot believe this 2 hours is almost over. So, again, we remind you, you can go to beaconofhopeministries.com, listen to last week's radio show, any shows that you've missed, and this one will be on there tomorrow. Catherine, give us some ideas here of how you feel about what we've accomplished today, or what you want to stress.
Well, who would have known there's so much to say about kindness? It seems like such a simple, you know, word.
It's true, isn't it?
And so, you know, just the word itself says it all. But I'm just amazed at, I think we really today hit on the understanding of kindness on a basic daily living, a basic, you know, interactions. We all come into contact with people throughout our lives, our work, our home. And I think that we really did a good job at showing that, you know, we're clothing ourselves with kindness and why it's important to do that. I think we did a good job at doing that. And I was thinking when I was listening to the song, you know, Jesus was so kind in how he treated people.
Absolutely.
And some examples that we have, you know, they weren't really likable, you know. I mean, even on the cross, the people that were doing that to him, he showed kindness towards them.
Yes.
And I say to myself, you know, why can't we do that?
Yeah.
You know, if he could do that with murderers and you know, all kinds of lepers,
right,
and just people, you know, and not in a very, you know, people really that, you know, we're not what we would call, you know, kind people or, you know, likable people. They were unlikable people, but Jesus showed them kindness.
Exactly.
Why can't we do that?
Exactly. He's our example. We
yeah.
should be. That's a great point. Yeah.
It
Michelle.
Is. And I think about this is, I've mentioned this in the service today with Pastor Pastor Jim's sermon. And with this is offense, take it or leave it, and conflict. And, you know, this is all prevented, this all conflict and being offended. And we won't even come upon it if we remember this.
Oh, that's a good point.
And to clothe ourselves in it. We won't take offense because we'll be understanding.
Right.
And, you know, we'll be merciful and we'll have gentleness and we'll have that humility, you know, the learn, you know, the other person's perspective. And I like what it says here too. It's saying the last garment we are to put on is love, which
yes.
holds it all
together
in place. And that's what's really was the foundation of what Jesus did, is that he loved everybody. So because of that love, he was able to be kind and gentle and merciful. And that's how we should be striving to be.
You know, that just reminds me of the word bypass, what you just said.
Bypass.
Okay. On US 19 out here, okay. You know, all these busy intersections. Yeah. If you, a few years back, if you went down US 19, it would take you a lot longer than it does now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they've done is at the busy intersections, they've built a bypass, an overpass mm-hmm. over the intersection.
Right.
So you can just get on 19 and go for a long time before you have to stop for a red light, you know,
right.
because of the overpass, the bypass. And what you're saying, what I'm hearing is this. When we begin to write kindness on the tablet of our heart, we're going to bypass a lot of crazy intersections with people.
Yeah, good one. Yeah.
You know, a lot of conflict resolution is just not having the conflict to begin with.
Yeah, no yes. congestion at
yeah.
all.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. It's just like taking echinacea before getting cold.
Exactly.
And then you don't even have to deal with the sickness and then the recovery.
You eat right and you're healthy and
right.
you don't get the blockage in your heart.
And that's the thing about conflict.
Yeah.
Because conflict and, you know, those arguments or those unharmonious times.
Yeah.
Those times, it's not just about that event that occurred or conflict that occurred. It's the repercussions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that we've seen in churches and relationships. It's not just that one argument that you said some hateful things in. That one argument has serious repercussions.
Yes. Ripple effect.
It's a ripple
yeah.
effect.
Ooh.
And it can really not yeah. only, you know, there's been a tragic accident in St. Petersburg this past week. And I was talking about it with Catherine. Not only did it affect the family of four guys that were killed. Father and three sons. It affected their whole entire family. The person who was drinking and driving, his family,
mm-hmm.
he is affected because he's going to jail for some time.
Right.
His family's affected. The people who saw that are affected.
Ugh.
The people who read it, like
oh,
me.
Oh, so true.
I'm, you know, my heart just, I'm so saddened for that family.
Oh,
and it just has
yes.
a huge effect. And to, if we had just started out with this,
right,
we would have completely bypassed it.
Closer
to peace than, you
right.
know, now it's going to take that much longer to get to that peaceful state.
So what we're saying is when we learn the importance of writing kindness and truth on our hearts and really making an effort on a daily basis, how about this? How about we start out tomorrow? We get up and we're, the three of us for sure are going to be very aware of this topic because we just lived it
yeah.
for the last 2 hours.
Right.
So, you know, we get up and we say, okay, God, I, Teach me how to write kindness and truth on the tablet of my heart. Teach me how to be kind today where maybe I would not have been. Teach me how to react in a sweet and harmonious way. Because God can do that, Catherine. Mm-hmm. He can teach us how. Yes. When we don't know how.
He sure can. We just have to be open to to wanting that.
Absolutely.
To wanting that peace and love that will bring kindness.
And Jesus is our example. So read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how Jesus did it when he walked this earth. Praise God.
Praise God.
So we invite you out there to come and join us at Beacon of Hope if you're in the Tampa Bay area. If you're visiting the Tampa Bay area, look us up. And the best way to find directions and everything is on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We are located now, 3700 Almerton Road, Suite 206, right behind some great restaurants.
In a comfy, cozy place.
In a comfy, cozy place, yes.
A kind place.
A kind place where kindness abounds, yes. Absolutely.
And peace.
Wednesday night, you can bring your dinner in. We set up tables, chairs. We have Bible study in a relaxed atmosphere. And bring a Bible or we'll loan you one. And you can sit and interact in a great atmosphere and learn about conflict resolution, offense, take it or leave it. That's our topic. Michelle, as always, it's always a joy. Pastor Michelle, I got to get used to calling you that. It's been that way for a week.
Yeah.
Right.
Pastor
Michelle, God bless you. And it's great to have you on the air.
Always wonderful to be here.
You and Catherine sometimes host when I can't be here. And I wasn't sure I was going to be able to be here because of my mother. But I enjoy it. So we're glad you guys are on. Catherine.
Always enjoy being here. Thank you.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the 2 hours, does it go fast?
Sure does. I guess we just have a lot of thoughts. It's fun bouncing it off you, too. So
it is fun, isn't it? Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Sunday morning at 11, worship service, dynamic music, anointed word, prayer for your needs. Wednesday night, prayer meeting 6:15, and Bible study at 7 at Beacon of Hope. As always, live this show every Sunday, 4 to 6. We're glad you've joined us. It's not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia, Pastor Michelle, Catherine, joining you today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no It's not far.